This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From 69 yards on a nice line, onto the green, right by the cup, and now trying to spin it back, but it's not going to happen. That means we have a winner. John Rahm is the champion of the 121st U.S. Open. The Spanish flag is flying. John Rahm, el campeón.
That was the final call on Sirius XM. Did you enjoy some golf with your Father's Day? It's Sean and RJ. Troy Hughes with us as well here. 6 a.m. headlines on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Rahm closes with two birdies to win the U.S. Open for his first major. Asked a buddy of mine who's a pretty big golf fan, who are you rooting for? He said, Rahm, because of what happened.
Oh, yeah.
At the Memorial.
Yeah, up six after three rounds, which is unless you're Greg Norman at a Masters, that's pretty dang insurmountable.
Yeah.
That's a big, I mean, you have to really gag it away. And the Memorial's a tough course, but, so he's been playing great, and he is great, and he was.
And he was the favorite.
He was the favorite.
He's always, like, one of the betting favorites, and I'm like, why? Who is this guy? He's boring. John Rahm, bam, with Phil Mickelson watching him. I was like, oh, is Phil rooting for him? As they were, he was going out there for a potential playoff warm-up, and Phil was there watching him as Ustazen misses the putt to secure it.
Well, Phil's caddy, Tim, who's his who's also Phil's brother, was John's coach in college at Arizona State and was John's agent when he first came into the PGA Tour. So they've got a very long relationship. Phil's an Arizona State guy, too. So there's that's thrown in there. Rahm is fantastic. He's a really good dude. Like, just, I mean, now he complains a little bit about the course sometimes, but he's awesome. And he was the best. He had that moniker, best in ever win a major. Right? He was like currently the best golfer on tour that hadn't won a major yet. And, you know, like, I like Louis, but Louis's boring to me. I mean, you want to talk about boring.
Yeah.
It's Louis Oosthuizen.
All they kept talking about was his farmland and, like.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, this guy is on tractors and stuff and purchasing farms all over the world. Louis Oosthuizen. You know, I was hoping for epic yesterday, and I felt a little bit let down. Now, the leaderboard, I think it was the second most guys within five shots in, like, the last. There was, like, 20 guys within five. So the day was setting up with Brooks up there, Bryson up there, Rahm up there, Rory up there. And I was like, can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, and Brooks was on a charge. I mean, Brooks had a really good, and then he bogeys 16 and misses a birdie putt on 17, which I don't know how it didn't go in, and then bogeys 18. Like, he was in a position to win this thing.
So you had names, you had everyone close, you had everyone melting down. That became the storyline, as is usually the case with the U.S. Open. I don't know. I think just because it was Rahm and Oosthuizen, I felt a little let down there because I wanted a little more star power or a closer finish with two or three holes left. And it felt like, I'm like, good Lord, Oosthuizen's on 15. Like, Rahm is done.
We're done. I know.
He's the leader. So I felt like I wanted a little bit more out of this tournament, even though yesterday was setting up for something great.
Well, that shows how close all those guys were. That the guy who won was like five holes ahead of the last group.
Yeah.
And usually, if you're five holes ahead of the last group at a major, you're like four or five strokes back. It wasn't the case here. I mean, you know, you had guys who were, you know, Brooks was almost an he was 90 minutes ahead of the final group.
Yes.
And he was in a position where he was a stroke back on the tee at 16. So you don't see that often. But, you know, like the leaderboard was very, very good. Rory hit the ball as well as anybody I've seen yesterday. And he could not make a putt to save his life. He was missing badly 5-foot putts. Just badly. Like throw the I would have putt with a sand wedge. I'd have gotten rid of that putter. And then Bryson melted down to the back nine.
Ooh.
He shot a 44.
Meltdown.
Yeah.
Absolute meltdown. Now, before we get to the meltdown, Bryson and Brooks were both even at one point, and they weren't paired together again. How do they determine that?
So they determine
a bunch
of
different guys are even, but Bryson and Brooks, I'm like, okay, here we go. Second chance for it. We're gonna get it Saturday and Sunday. They're tied, even score, throw them together, and it didn't happen again.
No, that so the way it happens with Saturday and Sunday is I believe for Sunday, it's the time with which you finished. It's a weird thing. And I think on Saturday, it's your last round. I know on Sunday, I know yesterday that Brooks and Bryce were paired differently because of the time when they finished. Whatever the hell that has to do with anything. That stunk. Because I would have loved to have seen it.
Hated it.
On Saturday.
Hated it. And it looked like Bryson was going to get the last laugh because he was higher up on the leaderboard than Brooks. And then DeChambeau, he was minus 5 through 10. He finished plus 3, tied for 26. Koepka finished minus 2. And you know Brooks was dying laughing as DeChambeau was hitting shots.
He had it. He was in a lead. He was solo lead.
He looks so... I'll be laughable golf analyst here. DeChambeau he looks like a power lifter playing golf. Like, he looks so stiff. He looks, it doesn't look like there's like any touch, like any feel from him out there. And then watching like two of the shots that he hit, I mean, it was like us out there. It was like us out there just spraying this thing all over the place. And if you laugh and don't like Bryson DeChambeau, that was a dream yesterday because that was catastrophic.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that single plane swing, which
his arms just come like
straight.
I don't know how to mimic it on the fan cam, but you know, it looks weird. It looks stiff.
Yeah, it does look stiff. His swing is always like you would like unless you're teaching the single plane swing, you would never teach that. It is a very awkward swing, and when I first saw it, I was like, who is this tool bag? And then, like, it kind of took over, and if you look at him, he does a lot of things different. Like, he's got some massive oversized grips, which they think, he says, helps him get out of some of this deeper rough. Being strong as an ox also helps, too. I can't wait till they outlaw those oversized grips. I just really piss him off even more. But he was a disaster on the back nine. And he said he got a bad break after bad break. Well, no, you didn't, bro. You missed fairway after fairway. And anyone who tells you that putting is the most important part of golf, if that's a golf coach, thank them for their time and find the new golf coach. Because if you cannot drive the ball, you cannot score. You have to be able to drive it far. Okay, you can drive it a little bit wayward if you want, but Bryson was way beyond off the fairway. On some of these.
And then Bryson has such a Bryson story where he says, I just had a dream. I had a dream over the weekend and it came to me, a swing adjustment.
Yeah.
And I was like, voila. And I saw that and I was just rolling. I'm putting my head in the headspace of Koepka. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? DeChambeau had this premonition in the middle of the night that got him on pace before the meltdown.
Yeah. That's Bryson. That's partly why Brooks rolls his eyes at him. It's because he says stuff like this. Autoflex is Fantex. The first two people to post the same score paired together on the weekend. So that's what it is. It's the time you finish.
Okay.
And that's how they do it. Why they do it like that, I don't know. That's how they do it, though. But, you know, Rombo was, you know, terrific. I mean, those two putts he made. He had basically the same putt on 17 Koepka did.
Rombo.
Thank you.
That's his nickname.
Is it his nickname or is that just a choppy thing?
No, it's on the back of his hat.
Does it say Rombo?
Rombo on the back of his hat. Yeah.
Okay, I'll give him that.
You know, his putt on 17 was basically the same as Bryson's. As Brooks's. And his fell and Brooks's didn't. And you know that birdie on that putt on 18 was fantastic. And you know to shoot a 67 in the final round of a U.S. Open, that ain't easy. That is a brutal test of golf. And usually by Sunday, those greens are tattered. And dead, and brown, and they did a really nice job keeping that golf course playable. If this was at Shinnecock, they would have lost the golf course. But on the West Coast, it was fantastic, and that thing went till about 8 o'clock, 7:30 at night. It was great.
All right, so that is a recap of the U.S. Open. John Rahm wins it. Autoflex Easing Fan Text is open at 877-881-1053. We're live on the Fan Cam as well. If you search Dallas Fan Cam on Twitch, you can check out our lovely faces to start off your Monday morning. What else did you do for Father's Day? How was the Father's Day treatment or weekend?
It was good. Woke up at 6 a.m. because everybody likes to wake up at 6 a.m. on a Father's Day. We had a baseball tournament. And last one of the year for Julian, we added this one. It was a kid pitch just to get ready for next year. And we lost.
You added a tournament.
Yes. We played a tournament last week, the World Series. We won. And they're like, hey, let's play a kid pitch tournament to get ready for next year. 'Cause they're going to go into kid pitch. And I was like, hey, great idea. No, please. No. And they actually decided to do it. And we lost. We played a team from Waxahachie, the Legends, all Tolos in the stands. The entire team after the game coming up, saying hi, taking photos, kissing babies.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. I felt like a rock star. And then I was like, wait a second. They're not here for me. They're here for my kids.
Normally, you're not accepted by a team called the Legends.
That's right.
But that Tolos
Legends want me nowhere near them.
I feel like your ratio of getting recognized versus me and Troy is like off the charts. Like you always get recognized out of Ranger games in Arlington. What's going on? What do you think it is? The nose?
It's the nose.
Yeah, it's the nose.
It's the nose. Yeah, it's definitely the nose. But I also think it's like, you know, like I don't know. Maybe it's just like in Tarrant and Denton County and stuff. People are Fort Worth area. People are listening more
uptown,
than maybe
man,
uptown.
I told you, uptown week.
Week.
Week in uptown. Yeah, I don't know about the Rock, but the farther away from this radio station, the stronger the Tolos are.
I've always felt like. And this fan base is Waxahachie, and they're all Tolos. And that's obviously not downtown.
How many pictures did you take or autographs did you sign?
None, but the umpire wanted me to sign the card. Umpire Damien wanted me to sign the card. He said, because you know, you got to sign the card to agree on the score. He was like, man, you got to talk about the Choklin Nets. Choklin Nets.
The Choklin Nets.
Brooklyn reference?
Is that a Brooklyn Choklin?
Oh, okay.
Like it.
Well, speaking of signing golf cards and sightings, period, there is breaking news from the big lead. Aaron Rodgers renewed his membership at the Green Bay Country Club for the rest of the year.
Oh, no, he's playing.
Now, I was trying to find the membership fees at the Green Bay Country Club. All I could find is what they have. They opened in 1995. It's 15 minutes from Lambeau. Has a swimming pool with a water slide, 6 tennis courts, a 9-hole putting course, a 6-hole par 3 golf course, and an 18-hole course designed by Dick Nugent. So,
Ted's brother.
What does this mean with Aaron Rodgers renewing the membership? I don't care how cheap it is. Renewing it, I mean, that has to mean something. That has to mean a little something. Why would you renew it when you're chilling in California or wherever else Aaron lives? Because it's probably not Green Bay, Wisconsin during
probably
the offseason.
Yeah, no. Why would you renew it? You would renew it because you're going to play. That's what I can imagine.
Play for the Packers.
Well, you know they're not going to trade you before the season. You're going to be at camp, and you just go there to play golf. Now, I was able to find these. Okay, so $4,500 up front, $7,000 a year annual dues.
Woo! Is that a lot? Seems like a lot. I mean, not for around here, I guess.
That's $600 a month, right? $7,000 a year, $600 a month, right? Is that right?
Sure. Yeah,
whatever. That's not that much. That's not that much.
Yeah, $583.
Yeah, that's not that much.
It's Green Bay. What do you have, bunkers and cows out there? I mean,
And the initiation of $4,500, that's I mean, to join Dallas National, it's up front $150,000.
Damn!
$200,000, maybe.
$150,000.
Yeah, that's that big Dale Hansen money.
Now, if you were given the opportunity to join whatever most prestigious golf club is there in the country,
mm-hmm.
what would you pay? And what would be the place? MJ's place? The Dallas one you just mentioned? Augusta? What would you pay?
See, it probably is Augusta's closed right now. They closed the course in May for the summer.
That's the white answer.
Yes. So I would not do Augusta. All right. I would probably do any course in the country.
Yes.
I'd probably do Baltusrol.
Where's that?
It's in New Jersey. That's where they play the U.S.
New
Open.
New Jersey?
They play the
Man,
U.S.
I don't even play golf, and I'm thinking like Pebble Beach or Maui or someplace like that.
I loved it. I love playing there.
Going
it's
to
great.
New Jersey.
And you would pay what? You'd be happy if you got the opportunity to pay what you think?
I would not pay a lot of money to join.
Well, that was the premise of the question.
Yeah, I was playing.
That was the whole question.
I would probably pay.
Like somewhere where you're like, okay, I'm not afforded this opportunity. I get a one-time chance. I'll pay $100,000.
Oh, no. I wouldn't pay $100,000 to do anything. That's not true.
That's not true.
Yeah. I would not pay $100,000 to join a golf course. That's insanity to me.
Okay.
I would pay $20,000.
All right, max.
Max.
All right.
Max $20,000.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you say that tonight is going to be a record low? Is that what you said?
No, not tonight. Tonight, the showers will come into the Metroplex. So tomorrow morning, we will be close to the record low of 58.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow.
Love that. Give me some rain. This is awful. This is a sauna. This is
very
hot. It's a sauna out there.
Very, very hot. Whew.
So good. Good for that with the weather forecast. But Kevin Huerter and the Hawks advance. By taking out Philadelphia, the entire world is caving in on Ben Simmons. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Devin Booker, his first triple-double of his career, 40-13-11 as the Suns win game one without Chris Paul against the Clippers, who are without Kawhi Leonard. He didn't even travel to Phoenix, so he's expected to be out for game two as well. Let's get you a Mavs update on our entire mess. They are bringing in the Diggler. Mark Cuban approached Dirk about a role as a special advisor, and he said, "I'm happy to support my Mavs. Donnie and Carlisle were both mentors and played huge roles in my career and the success of this franchise, and I'm going to miss them. It's important for me now to join Mark and contribute as much as I can as we move forward." Happy birthday, by the way, to the Diggler, who turned 43 on Saturday, told Mark Stein, "Not quite ready to take on an everyday role with the organization after retiring just 2 years ago." So Cuban has put together a trusted group of advisors, and Tim McMahon says that includes Dirk, Michael Finley, and they briefly discussed the idea of former point guard Jason Kidd for the role of replacing Rick Carlisle.
Okay.
But they are trying to find a new GM first.
Absolutely. Ooh. They absolutely have to. And
do they? Why not? I mean, Mark and Vulgaris know everything. So just go ahead and pick your own coach and then go backwards and pick the GM afterwards.
I mean, you'd be setting a precedent. That's for dang sure. You'd be letting that GM know who's boss before he even walks in here.
Right.
But that's not how normally it goes. I would hope they would hire a general manager first.
Yes.
And if that's going to be Bob, let it be Bob. You know, who knows? But
let's not have it be Bob.
I know, right? In all seriousness, it probably shouldn't be. But I would not be happy with them hiring. And I don't even think they should be interviewing or talking to coaches now. Talk to GMs. Find your general manager. And then worry about your coach. And if you're going to sit there and you're going to have a coach first and a GM second, then what exactly is the difference between Mark and Jerry?
Exactly. So Jason Kidd is a name that I think a lot of Tolos are liking on the Autoflex Leasing Fantex. Last week, I did a segment. It's on the website, 105throughthefan.com, why they should stay away. Started his career with the Nets, 44-38, lost in the second round of the playoffs. Then he left the Nets, went to Milwaukee. Milwaukee traded 2 second-round picks to get Jason Kidd. Spent 4 years in Milwaukee, was 139-152. They finished with a record above 500 just once. Didn't win a playoff series. Now, I'm not killing J. Kidd necessarily for the record. I'm killing J. Kidd for the sordid tales that you hear about his backstabbing, how he's out to get people. He might quit on you real quick. Very temperamental. I want stability. I want stability here with Luka for a long time, and I just don't trust Jason Kidd enough based upon the stories and the backstabbing that I've heard about him after he got done playing. That's just me.
Listen, I hate the backstabbing stories as well, and I think they're terrible. You don't go after somebody's job, like, as a coach. There's a fraternity there. Now, unless the owner has come to you and said, look, we're going to make a change anyway, and they reach out, that's one thing. But to make a phone call and say, hey, I would like to coach your basketball team. Why don't you get rid of the spare that you have there and bring me in?
Yeah.
I think that that's outside the code. And Rick Carlisle, I know, and I know he's close with Kidd, obviously, he had him as a player. But as the head of the Coaches Association, I don't think Rick ever thought that was graceful to begin with. So it'd be a pretty stark change between the guy we had and the guy we're getting. That said, Jason Kidd's basketball mind is probably second to none.
Yep.
Very, very few people that have a smarter basketball IQ than Jason Kidd. And would he be great for Luka? I would hope so. And I would think so. And I would love to see him get, you know, Luka and to figure out how to really take his game to the next level. Because, you know, when you account for 85% of the points, that's too much. You know, that's too much.
What is the next level for him?
There's not
far to go. There's not a lot of level.
No, there's really not.
Like, he needs to become a better free throw shooter, and maybe you want to put even more pressure and onus on him to get others involved. My counter to that is, who am I? You talk to me as I'm Luka about getting other people involved. And I'm like, okay, besides Porzingis, what am I doing? Hardaway has gotten his, Brunson, and look at the scrubs you've put me with. Who else's game do you want me to truly elevate? That's part of the reason that we're stuck here with a lack of talent. And with KP, that's what they have to figure out. Are we going to get him in the post? Are we going to try to go more up-tempo in transition? Is he just going to sit out there as a three-point shooter? I mean, Luka was third in the league in assists. Like, it's not like he doesn't get everyone.
Oh, no, he does. Yeah.
He's a world-class passer.
But, like, would you say the Hawks have a better supporting cast than the Mavericks?
Trey, John Collins. Okay. And your point is what? That they're in the East Finals? I mean,
yeah, and they beat the one seed. You know, like, they just beat the one seed in Game 7 on the road. Like, you know, this the Mavs supporting cast is not great, but I think what I'm saying is so is neither is anybody else's really. Now, like, the Luka's biggest issue is his number 2 stinks.
Yeah,
not his number 7. Everybody's number 7. Is a spare.
Hawks have Trey, Bogdan, John Collins, Gallinari. I mean, there's nothing. It's not great.
Yeah, and if you ask Mavs fans, would you want Danilo Gallinari here? They'd be like, no, I don't want him here. Kevin Herter had 27 last night. If Kevin Herter wasn't a redhead, like, nobody would know who he is.
Nobody.
So I just, you know, I mean, yes, there are people to get involved and that need to get better on this team. But the Mavs have to get a better support. They need to get upgrades at various positions.
If you want to interview GMs first, everyone is looking at Toronto with Masai Ujiri. The nosebleed seats had on Ramona Shelbourne last week. They asked her, how would Masai fit here under Cuban?
Masai does things his way. You hire Masai to be the face of your franchise. Like, people think that Masai owns the Raptors, right? I mean, he's so powerful in Toronto. Like, do you assume he owns them? Like, could you name me the owner of the Raptors?
No. Masai Ujiri.
Yeah. Right? I mean, his name is Larry Tannenbaum, but it's kind of a collective of people up with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And they're perfectly happy to have Masai be the face and the voice of that organization, because that's what you get Masai for. Does that sound like that would fit well with Cuban?
No, it doesn't.
This Dirk hire, straight PR.
100%. It's like, hey, Dirk, are you just a solid here? We got the whole world coming down on us. Do you think you can just take a hire and we'll pay you, like, we'll give you like 20 grand to your charity and just come in here. We'll work something out. Do you mind joining? Yeah, sure. It's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
It's all it was. 100% PR. He probably has absolutely zero job responsibilities.
And what else is he going to say besides Jason Kidd or Jamal Mosley?
Dirk?
Yeah.
That's it. You know, he's going to say one of his teammates. Like, hopefully it's you know, he doesn't have total autonomy to be able to hire somebody. That would be a weird flex.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully he's going to say one of his teammates for sure.
And then Michael Finley, how much do you want to throw Finley into this in his first year?
If they're going to go, like, if they got rid of, and let's be fair, they probably got rid of Rick and Donnie. They probably told them both, thanks, but no thanks. Rick Carlisle didn't walk away from 3 years left on his contract.
You think they fired Rick versus Rick resigning? That's a development.
David Sampson, I listened to this morning on the ride in. David Sampson of CBS Sports, he was the Marlins president. He said coaches don't walk away from 3 years of paychecks.
I think Rick walked away because he knows he knows another job is done. He has the Boston job. He's got the... Or he's got the Pacers job.
Yeah,
it's done.
And his point was, like, Mark basically said to him, "This is how we're gonna do things. Bob's gonna have a big voice or analytics or whatever.
Yeah,
take it or leave it.
Yeah,
and if you leave it, we'll work out some kind of a behind the door
buyout.
He's like, coaches just don't walk away from 3 years of free money, and I understand that, like, from a business standpoint. So, but let's just say, like, they were gone. You know, now what? It's like, you know, if they're gone, that means that Bob's got a big voice, that they're going to go analytics. If they're going to go analytics, they're not going to go Michael Finley.
Why?
Because that's kind of a break from the analytics, right? Michael Finley's, you know, he's got that former player's viewpoint of it. If they're going to go as a straight analytics organization.
I don't know if Finley's, like, philosophy is how much he's embraced it.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. He comes from the player's angle.
Right. So, like, theoretically, if you're going to go with an analytics background, you're going to go with a Bob Vulgaris type and not a Michael Finley type.
All right. Autoflex CC Fan Text. What do y'all think about Jason Kidd? I'm not a fan of it. So that's the developments. They bring in Dirk, and he is supposed to be assisting with the coaching search. Pretty quiet over the weekend when he came to the Mavericks. Didn't get any other names, whether it was a GM or a head coach, in terms of the Rumorville.
None. We got nothing. Very, very quiet. And I think we expected that. I expected that for the coach's standpoint, at least. The GM, I thought we were going to get some more names. I thought we would hear some rumors drop. But, you know, maybe Shams or Shams, whatever his name is, and Woj have got nothing. Maybe there is nothing. This search firm is going to be... How long is it a search firm? How long does it take a search firm to figure out who the guy is?
Where does the Mavs job rank amongst the openings? Different websites are ranking us. Are we one? Are we two behind the Blazers? Are we behind the Celtics? Where does the Mavs job rank? Cole Beasley, not done. Beasley keeps talking throughout the weekend. People are mad at Devin Booker for rewarding Suns and Four Guy, and the audio that'll make you sick to your stomach this morning, next with Sean and RJ. Devin Booker is getting criticism for hooking up Suns and Four Guy. Now, Suns and four guy was sitting there in Denver. Two Nuggets fans were harassing him. One poured beer on top of him. Then the Nuggets fan tried to sucker punch him, and Suns and four guy beat his ass, embarrassed him, got caught on video. Denver fan goes and waddles out of the arena, tail between his legs. No one has called for an arrest. No one has said that's assault and battery, nor should they. If you sit there and look at it, if you get a beer poured on you and someone takes a swing at you, you can beat them down. And Devin Booker was rewarding Suns and four guy, hooking them up with tickets to the Western Conference Finals. And, of course, you had to have the internet get upset and mad about it.
It would have to be. This is the most Deadspin-y article Deadspin's ever come out with.
Deadspin did this?
Yes.
Deadspin's still in existence?
Yes. It would be the totally irrelevant Deadspin that would come up with this one, that would have a problem with him giving Suns and four guy tickets. And you know why they have a problem with it? Because people who read and write for Deadspin would actually never win a fight. They're soft and thus would never be the benefactor of a gesture quite like Devin Booker. But they write in this article, all-star players are incentivizing actions like those as long as they're done in support of your team. It doesn't seem like a good idea. And Booker has doubled down on his actions when people have called him out for it. Current at basketball analyst Richard Jefferson took to Instagram to express his displeasure with the precedent that Booker was setting. Booker's response was, "Aw," mocking Jefferson for trying to maintain some civility among fans in the future. His desire to reach out to Suns and four guy coach shows every fan across America and Toronto that if you rep your team hard enough and commit some semi-violent act, you too become internet famous and get invited to your favorite team's most important game since the Steve Nash era. It may even lead some fans looking to pick fights at games in the future. Oh, that's God. Not good for anybody.
Shut up. Shut up. Stop being so soft. Get out of here.
And by the way, don't forget, Suns and Four Guy, the auction is still live according to Hands of Doom, which is a toy manufacturing company. His one of one figure is still available on eBay. The current bid right now, and people are bidding $5,000.
Dang!
Yeah, now this does not set a bad precedent. It sets the precedent that if you get sucker punched with beer thrown on you and you happen to have the lower ground and still win the fight, someone's going to buy you tickets.
Yeah.
That's the precedent it sets. Just two, you know.
If we were in Phoenix, we would try to get this guy on, and then Deadspin would get mad at us for giving him a platform.
Yeah, a couple of jabronis going out there fighting in the stands is not going to get tickets.
My old AOL Instant Messenger name. Nice.
Jabroni?
Jabroni?
Jabroni Omar. That was my ICQ email. Remember ICQ?
ICQ.
Wasn't it ICQ? Was that like an email server?
No, ICP? Instant Clown Posse?
No, ICQ mail. Cole Beasley.
Do you remember your AOL name?
I don't. I actually don't remember mine. I think it was Tommy Sledge. I mean, that's how long I've had that name. So, yeah, I think it was Tommy Sledge.
I loved Instant Messenger.
It was so good.
It was text before text.
Yes. It was, I mean, like, how many nights did you stay up at, like, 2 a.m. in college?
You creep on someone, you're like, why aren't they responding? And then their name goes, like, gray, and you're like, okay, they're idle.
They're idle.
But if they're not idle and they're active, then they're dodging you.
What are they doing? They're ghosting. We don't know what ghosting is.
That was ghosting.
That was ghosting, but you didn't know what it was called.
Yeah.
It wasn't called Left on Red.
Cole Beasley just doesn't stop. So he went on social media again. He's not happy with the NFLPA and the differences in treatment if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated in the NFL. And he says, I'm going to live my one life like I want to regardless. I'll be outside doing what I do. I'll be out in public. If you're scared of me, then steer clear. Get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living. I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken. I'd rather take my chances with COVID and build up my immunity that way. I'll play for free this year to live life how I've lived it from day one. If I'm forced into retirement, so be it. And then Cole said, everyone is so in on science now more than I've ever seen. What happened to God's will? So that's Cole Beasley with process of elimination out here in the streets with his NFL COVID reaction. He just doesn't stop.
The old Nathan Hale, if I had but one life to live, Cole Beasley.
Man.
Rolling in there. I mean, if you don't want, I don't care if he gets it or not. Don't shame people for getting it. And yeah. I'm not going to shame people for not getting
but
it.
But he's mad at the league with these stark differences in treatment of where you'll be allowed or how you'll be allowed to interact if you're vaccinated or not.
The league has to protect themselves. I don't blame the NFL. I mean, I wish the NFL was a little bit, you know, more understanding? Sure. But they have to protect themselves against an outbreak. We just had, I mean, now granted, there are vaccinated, like Chris Paul, like Jalen, was it Jalen Rose that he's vaccinated?
Matt Barnes.
So he's got he's vaccinated and he's still missing the game. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, but the thought process is that if you're vaccinated, you have a less chance of getting it. That's probably true.
Yeah.
So I get it. They've got to protect themselves. And Cole views this as protecting himself, that he doesn't want to take it. I get it. I'm not mad at Cole. I'm not mad at the NFL. But don't be mad at the NFL for running their business the most financially responsible way they think they should.
Absolutely. Travis Kelce was initially unsure about getting the vaccine. And then he said, I love being around family. So it was just kind of a family decision that everybody get it so we can be around each other safely and comfortably. That was the biggest thing. I was definitely hesitant, but it's only here to help us. And I'm here to just spread the word to try and encourage everybody to get it. So that's Travis Kelce with initial hesitancy before going ahead and getting vaccinated himself.
Yeah, and he is not alone. Now, we have noticed that the people who say that they're going to research it don't typically really care to research it. They're just used as an excuse. And again, that's fine. Don't get it. But Travis and the Chiefs and, you know, if the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl again and he gets it, you know, he's going to have to miss, and that's going to be tough for him, and too bad.
Couple of funny baseball stories. Hang on to your breakfast. Don't get sick to your stomach. This is audio that came out from the umpire mic'd up in the NC State versus Stanford baseball game. Ugh.
Take a listen.
Skip off in front of the plate.
Ooh. That was a ball that skipped in front of the plate. Bounce back up, and the poor umpire with ball two.
Oh, no.
Dinged up ball two. Let's hear it one more time, just the beginning of that and the reaction from the ump.
Take a listen.
Just that drop.
I caught in high school, Sean. We didn't have anybody throwing 90.
RJ Hernandez.
We were like what you would call a 2A school, maybe 3A. Most likely, I graduated with 100 kids. I never saw 90 to the balls. All right, 65 hurts like heck. It doesn't hurt, but it's like you feel something. Even if you're wearing a cup, you still do the because you're ready. You're preparing for something worse. I can only imagine what 96 feels like.
Oh. That's awful.
Brutal.
When's the last time you've been hitting the nuts?
Oh, my kids all the time.
I'm about to say, kids. Wait till all Ollie grows up. Wait till Ollie. How old's Ollie now?
A year.
Oh, yeah. You got nothing.
See, now you're still the time, at least for me, because I have chest hair. A year old, I'm in the stage where they rip out your chest hair.
Oh, really?
Oh, kids, they just grab onto you and they with their small hands. And kids have great grip. And they just rip, they pull, and just chest hair flies out.
No, when Ollie gets old enough, Sean, he has a terrifying dream about Go Diego Go coming to life, and he slides into your bed when he's like 4 years old, and you're just sleeping, enjoying your night, and then suddenly, out of nowhere,
take a listen.
Just a foot right into your nuts.
Yeah, so the kids will, and even like my kids still, like they'll do cup checks on me all the time.
Okay, that... You have bad kids.
Hey, Dad, cup check.
And you can't do it back, obviously.
No. You go to jail.
Why are you winking?
Yeah, you
stop it.
You go to jail. Did you see the other funny baseball story of Joey Votto stealing third while Manny Machado was doing the wave? Machado's doing the wave with fans in the stands, and Votto's like, oh, okay. And then he just moseys on down to third base with Manny playing with the attendants.
You know, I know that the old school baseball dude hates where baseball is because base running is a disaster.
Yeah.
And you got guy, but you had Ronald Acuna, one of the best baseball players in the game, getting thrown out at third base with two outs. Like, never make the third out at third.
How is base running forgotten?
Because they don't value it, so they never teach you anything proper in regards to base running. They just don't value it. So you learn.
You guys work on base running less?
Because
you think you're gonna on your level impart the fundamentals.
We work on it more at the lower levels. But I bet you, you know, when you get up into, like, you know, it's different when you get up into high school and college, because we could take a base at any. You want to take an extra base at our age? Take the extra base. I mean, you're gonna get it. But you get into high school and college, you don't get it nearly as much. So I just don't think they there's the instinct for it. They don't care about it. They don't work on it, and that's a problem. Well, it's also a problem when you don't have guys paying attention in the field.
What do you think is worked on or has worse fundamentals between base running or a rundown?
Rundowns, they're fine with rundowns.
Okay.
It's the base running. Base running's bad. It's bad. Like just the knowledge of, like, don't make the third out or the first out at third base. You're already in scoring position. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to get the third base with two outs for?
Yeah.
You're already in scoring position. Being a third base with two outs helps you very, very little. Being there with one out's huge. If you're on second base and nobody's out, there's no point in stealing third. None. You're already in scoring position. You got three cracks at it. Sooner or later, you're going to get to third anyway. So, like, there's just a lack of instinct with it.
So that's Manny Machado having fun with the fans. Joey Votto just taking third base right in front of him. We are your home of the Rangers. They get swept by the Twins. I'm trying to check out, speaking of Manny and the attendance, how the attendance has been in Arlington. As y'all were talking about, a nice crowd yesterday. Oh, my. 34,000 Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
34,000.
Like, there's more people watching in the ballpark than on TV.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true.
That's the highest attendance since May 22nd, Saturday against the Astros.
Yeah, and
Saturday,
it's not,
Sunday against Houston.
Right, and it's not like the Twins have some great fan base, right, that travels or lives everywhere else.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
This got more than the Yankees series.
Let's just be honest.
During the week.
No one's going to the game to watch. I mean, very few people.
Get out of the house.
I hate saying no one.
Stadium.
Yeah, I hate saying no one's going to the game. I mean, a majority of people are going to the game to see the new globe.
Yeah.
That's what they are doing. And they should, by the way. Having gone there a couple of times myself, yep. It is awesome.
Fantastic.
The lines have gotten better. They're not as long as, like, state fair lines anymore. But the inside of the globe, that's why people are going. That's why they should go. The team, I probably wouldn't look at the field.
How do we get that suite behind home plate? Who do we have to know?
Oh, the one that's field level?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How do we do it?
That looks great. I have no idea.
Who owns that and how do we get it? That's what we need to figure out. And we can't give it a free Adolis Garcia jersey from the Rangers. So no. I don't know if they're going to hook us up with that. Well, we can't get into our own radio suite.
Give you a 10% off coupon code. Is that what they
said? I don't have. Maybe I'll get an Elvis cup or whatever they're doing today.
Oh, a bobblehead tonight.
A bobblehead.
Jerseys tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.